So this Shabbos, we're going to have the opportunity to read the very end of Sefer Bamidbar, and it's going to be a Shabbos Chazak. So what's the story with the Chazak, with the last Aliyah, when we say Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek? So in Shulchan Aruch, the story begins like this. In Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, the Shulchan Aruch says, HaKori BaTorah, someone who gets an Aliyah, Tzarech Lechos B'Sefer Torah B'Shas HaBracha. Somebody who gets an Aliyah is supposed to hold on to the Atzei Chaim of the Sefer Torah at the time of the Aliyah. And the Rama says, where exactly does this practice come from? Why should a person hold on to the Sefer Torah while they're getting the Aliyah? What's the big deal? He says, because by Yehoshua ben Nun it says, Lo yamush Sefer HaTorah hazeh mipicha, chazak ve'ematz. A person should hold on tight. Why is that the case? Where do you see that? So the Rama is basing himself off of the Archas Chaim, that the Beis Yosef quotes, that the Archas Chaim writes that from the fact that it says, Lo yamush Sefer HaTorah hazeh, Hazeh is only used when it's something that a person, when it's tangible, when it's something that the person is actually holding. And therefore, says the Rama, our practice has developed that when a person gets an Aliyah, they should hold on to the Atzei Chaim of the Sefer Torah at the time of the Brecha based on the Pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. So where does the minute come from that we say Chazak? So by Yehoshua ben Nun, it says Chazak ve'ematz, that God tells him, you should be strong. But where does our minute come from? So there are a couple of reasons given. The Pri Chadosh writes there on Shulchan Aruch that perhaps the reason why is because the Gemara tells us that the Torah is referred to as Toshia. What exactly does Toshia mean? So the Gemara says that Torah mateshes kochos shel adam. Torah makes a person weaker. If a person is going to be busy studying so much Torah and learning, they're not going to be strong. They're going to be busy and their mind is going to be occupied all the time. So Torah is mateshes kochos shel adam. It weakens a person a little bit, and therefore we assume you have to say chazak after a person's aliyah. You have to give them chizuk. You have to say yashar koach, that they should have strength, because generally when a person learns Torah, they lose a lot of strength. That's what the Pri Chadosh writes. He also suggests that the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis that there are a few things that need chizuk tamid. There are a few things that we always have to reinforce. We always have to be mechazik ourselves in. And one of those aspects that the Gemara tells us about is the study of Torah. That if a person doesn't always make sure, amod b'hachzer kai, if a person doesn't always make sure to review all of the Torah that they've learned and everything that they know, all the knowledge they've accumulated, then we're going to forget everything. And therefore we say, chazak ve'ematz, we say a person, you should be strong, you should go and chazer, you should go and make sure that you don't forget. That's what some achronim write. The same way by the end of a mesechta, when we finish learning a mesechta, we say, hadron alach, we're going to return to you, we're going to do it again in order that we shouldn't forget it. So to over here, we tell a person, chazak ve'ematz, that they should have strength, they should be able to go ahead and read it once again and not forget the Torah that they have just studied. There's a vart that they say in the name of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. He was the Av Beis Din in London, so they say a story from Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky that he said, if you look in the Psukim in Yehoshua, there are two times when Yehoshua ben Nun is told he should be reinforced, he should have chazak, he should be strong. But there is one word that is added in one pasuk that is not by the other. The two times that Yehoshua ben Nun is given chizuk by God himself is, number one, when he's told about Kibush Haaretz, that he's told the following, Chazak ve'ematz, ki ata tanchilas ha'amazeh. This is the beginning of Yeshua's leadership, and he's probably nervous. He doesn't know. He's coming after a great leader, after Moshe Rabbeinu, so he's given chizuk. God tells him, Chazak ve'ematz, be strong, ki ata tanchilas ha'amazeh, because you're going to be able to bring the Jewish people into the land, asher nishbati labosam laseis lahem. So that's the first time he's told. Then, two psukim later, the pasuk says, with regard to shmiras ha'tor, with regard to studying the Torah and knowing its laws, the pasuk there says, Rak chazak ve'ematz me'od. So says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, you see that as hard and as difficult as it is for us to be able to gain ownership and access to Eretz Yisrael, it's even more difficult for ourselves to have the opportunity to be shomer as a Torah properly, to remember the Torah, to keep to its laws. And that's why there, when he is spoken to about Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Shmiras HaTorah, there he's told, Rak chazak ve'ematz me'od. You have to be extra careful, extra wonderful, extra scrupulous over the fact that you can very easily forget the Torah and not keep to everything that you've learned, and therefore Yehoshua ben Nun is given extra strength for that. Why is it that we say Chazak, Chazak three times? Where exactly does that come from? So some Achronim say that because the same gematria of Chazak, Chazak, Chazak is going to be Moshe, so therefore we say it three times. Sounds like a strange kind of reason. The Eliyahu Rabbah quotes that reason. But again, in our communities, we don't even say that three times. We say Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek. So that's very unclear. Again, the whole nature of where this minhag developed that we say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek is not clear at all. Number one, where this chazek word came in is certainly not clear. After all, chazak, chazak, chazak is begematria Moshe, so that's why the Eliyahu Rabbah says we should say that. But v'nis chazek, I don't know where that comes from. And secondly, Where has the minhag developed that we say it specifically at the end of the reading of a sefer of Chumash? Why don't we say it at the end of every aliyah? We always say Yashar Koach at the end of an aliyah. The reason why is that Pri Chadash says because Toshiach is a person, either because they always have to review the learning that they did, or because a person loses strength when they learn Torah. But either way, why don't we do this at the end of every aliyah? Where do we come off to do it at the end of a sefer? So those are very unclear points with regard to this issue of Chazak Chazak. The Ramah himself, when you look at the Lashon of the Ramah says, Mizeh nagu lomer lemesayim likras haTorah b'chol pam, says the Ramah. Every time a person finishes reading from the Torah, we say Chazak, which sounds like the Ramah's learning that this is something that should be done each and every time a person gets an aliyah. So where we got this practice from is not clear at all. And the question that is raised by many achronim is, what if I'm the person who's getting the aliyah of Chazak? Should I also say Chazak, Chazak, or does everyone just wish me a Chazak? So how am I supposed to understand what I'm supposed to do if I'm the one getting the aliyah? So many achronim write that it doesn't make sense. If the whole point of saying the Chazak is that other people are wishing you that you should be strong, and other people are telling you that you should be able to have the chizuk, you should be able to remember the Torah that you learn, doesn't make sense that I should say it about myself. Yeah, I should be strong. We don't offer a bracha to ourselves. We have other people offering brachas to us, and that's why many say that perhaps the person who's getting the aliyah should not recite Chazak, Chazak, v'nis chazek, because after all, it's a bracha that's supposed to be given by the others in the room to them, and not by the person himself giving it to himself. They do write in the biography of the stipler that when he got that last aliyah, every time they finished the sefer, he did used to say it on his own, which is very unclear why that's the case, if after all, it doesn't really make sense to give oneself a bracha. You should really have the bracha be given by somebody else. And another point, Vinis Chazek, meaning we should all be Chazak. Could be. It's all possible. Or when you say it in a Lashon Rabim, if I'm reading on behalf of everyone, so maybe it's a bracha for all of us. It's a bracha for everybody in the room. It could be. But there's another issue that's discussed, and that is, what about the fact that it's a hefsik? What about the fact that I make a bracha before my aliyah begins, I make a bracha after my aliyah ends, and here I'm going to say Chazak, Chazak, which really has nothing to do with my aliyah itself. It has no connection at all to the psukim that I just read. Why am I interrupting now with something that is not connected at all? So there's a very similar question that's raised by the Bikur Yaakov. That's the Aruch Laner in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So the Bikur Yaakov writes, how is it that on Simchas Torah, when we have the person who gets the aliyah of Kol HaNa'arim, so he says in his community the practice already was that they sang HaMalach HaGoel before the person said the bracha after his aliyah. They used to interrupt. They used to lane. Then they would say HaMalach HaGoel or sing it, whatever it was, and then the person would say the bracha after the aliyah. So isn't that a hefsik? Isn't that something that's going to be in the way of the bracha rishona, the bracha achrona? What's going on there? So the Bikur Yaakov writes, v'nira. He says, the einze mikri hefsik, this is not going to be constituted as a hefsik just because you're saying hamalach hagol in between. Why? Kivan shebepasik betorahu. Since you're reading a pasik from Chumash, therefore he says it's not a problem. It doesn't happen to be in this week's parsha. It has nothing to do with what we're reading. Now we're reading parshas V'zos HaBracha, and HaMalach HaGol is from a different parsha, Parshas Vayechi. He says, no, that's not a problem. Why? Because Harei Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim HaYakore Parshas Uve'asar Alpeh Kodem Shemavarech. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur got an aliyah, and the Kohen Gadol stood there on Yom Kippur and read from one parsha in the Torah. Then he skipped and read by heart from another parsha in the Torah that was also part of the aliyah. Even though those two parshios were not one next to the other, he said one from the text, one at one Balpeh, and yet he had the bracha rishona before and the bracha achrona afterward, and there was not considered a hefsek at all. So says the Bikur Yaakov, as long as you're saying a pasuk in Chumash, even though it has nothing to do at all, there's no connection at all to the aliyah that I'm saying, it's not going to be a hefsek, and it's not a problem at all. Now, that's a very nice idea, but that doesn't help us over here, because chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek is not a pasuk in Chumash. Nowhere do we find a pasuk like that. So we have the pasuk by Yoshua ben Nun, chazak ve'amatz, but we don't say that pasuk. We say something else. We're offering a tefillah. So how is that not really going to be a hefsik is a very good question. Truth is, the Shari Ephraim in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah writes, what if you have a person, there's a lot of confusion by the end of Kriyas HaTorah, you have somebody gets the aliyah, at the end of the aliyah, the Baal Kori right away says the Kaddish without waiting for the person to say the bracha after his aliyah. So what do? You realize in the middle of Kaddish, the person hasn't said the bracha achrona. What are you supposed to do now? Says the Shari Ephraim, it's not a problem. B'diyeved, you're allowed to say the bracha even after the Kaddish. Even though the Kaddish is seemingly not connected at all to the aliyah, but still, says the Shari Ephraim, it's not going to really be a problem, b'di'evit. So again, that's the Shari Ephraim saying, b'di'evit, if you had some confusion. And the Baal Kori goes ahead and says, the Kaddish, without waiting for the person to make the bracha. So then b'di'evad we say you can make the bracha anyway. But over here we're telling a person lichatchila. Lichatchila you should go ahead and say chazak chazak and make a hefsik when number one it's not a pasuk in chumish. Number two it's not connected at all to the aliyah that I'm saying. And lichatchila why would we tell someone to do that? So this is a very important question to think about. I'm not sure what exactly everybody does, but it's just it's something that is mentioned by the Achronim that it's an issue to be aware of. The practice in many shuls is that when we get up to this last portion of the Sefer, everybody stands up for the last pasuk or the last few psukim. Everybody stands up in honor of the chazak. In honor of the last pasuk, everyone stands up in the shul to give kavod haTorah. And this is a very questionable practice. The reason why it's a questionable practice is because we have this question that's raised by many times in the year. By Shiras Hayam, we stand up, or by Aseres Hadibros, we stand up. Both times that we read it, we stand up. So this is a question that the Rambam raises. The Rambam has in the Tshuva, very famously, that somebody asked him, what about standing up during Aseres Hadibros? And the Rambam writes, Roy Ligurbo, you should yell at the person. You should stop them right away from standing up. It's not a good practice to stand up for one part of Torah over any other. Why? You're giving off a bad impression because there's going to be somebody in the shul who's going to say, look, he always sits down during Kriyas HaTorah every time we lay in every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, but all of a sudden we get up to one portion of Torah and he stands up. You know what that must mean? It must mean he only believes in that part of the Torah and everything else is just made up. Everything else is not really important. Everything else is not consequential. That's why he doesn't stand up. He only stands for this part. Therefore, says the Rambam, because we have to be concerned of the Apikursim, we're going to have the wrong impression when they see the way I'm acting during Kriyas HaTorah. Therefore, nobody should stand up for any part of Torah over the other. If you want to stand up, you have to always stand up. And if you don't want to stand up, you should never stand up. Not for Aseres Hadibros, not for Shiras Hayam, not for anything else. So, we know that in many of our shuls, the practice is that we all do stand up. So what's this all about? So Rabbi Avad Yosef argues vehemently, it's wrong. It's wrong. Everyone has to follow the practice of the Rambam, and everyone has to say, no standing up at any point in the Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Because if you don't stand up for one part, you can't stand up for the other either, because you're going to give the wrong impression. So what's our rationale? Why do we defend? How do we defend ourselves? Why are we allowed to do it? So there are those who suggest the following, that the whole premise, the whole reason why we're concerned here is because maybe there's going to be someone who's going to have the wrong impression. We don't have people nowadays who are thinking in such a way. Nowadays in our shuls, if you're coming to shul, it means you believe that the Torah is min hashamayim, you believe that the entire Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have people hanging around who are questioning the existence of, or the authenticity of, the entirety of the Torah, and therefore perhaps we don't have to be concerned because we don't really have minim in our shuls nowadays. Maybe it's a chabal that we don't. Maybe it would be better if we had people who we were doing outreach to who would also come to the shul, but lamaisa, that's not really the circumstances that we have, and therefore perhaps we don't have a reason to be concerned about this bizman hazeh. That's what some want to suggest. And in fact, we have a gemara like this. The gemara Pesachim talks about whether you should say Baruch Shem out loud or whether you should say Baruch Shem quietly. So the Gemara says, well, they used to say Baruch Shem quietly, but the Gemara says we have a concern. They used to say Shema Yisrael out loud, so everybody knows Kabbalah Sal Machlo Shemayim. Let's say you're an innocent bystander in the shul, you don't know anything about the halacha, you see everybody Kabbalah Machlo Shemayim. Then a minute later, you see everybody's mumbling something under their breath. So what does that make you think? Makes you think, oh, they must be first Kabbalah Machlo Shemayim. And now they're talking to the other God. Now they're whispering. They don't want everyone to hear, so they're whispering something to the other God. So the Gemara says that's why they started to say Baruch Shem out loud, because it was getting people to have the wrong thoughts, the wrong feelings. But the Gemara says that in Arda, Deleka Minim, in a certain community where they didn't have such a concern, they didn't have such people floating around the shul. So in a case like that, they go back to the original practice of saying Baruch Shem quietly, because if you don't live in a place where this is an issue, so then you don't have to be concerned about the issue at all. So maybe that's why we don't have the concern. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that the reason we don't have a concern is because, look, the Gemara says there are certain places where we have to be concerned, mipnei tarumas aminim, certain minhagim that we're not allowed to do because we have to look out for those who might make a mistake based on the way we're acting. Says Rav Moshe, ein l'chabo elamasha neser kvar. We only have to stick to what the Gemara says is aser. We don't have to make new institutions, new minhagim, to be concerned about the minim and to make up new problems, to make ourselves nervous about new things that the Gemara itself was not concerned. I remember Rav Asher Weiss once told me he thought that there was a raya, perhaps, that we're allowed to stand up for one part of Kriyas HaTorah and not for the other, and you don't have to start making new institutions about worrying about the minim. What was his proof? His proof was the following. The Yerushalmi says in Megillah that back in the times of the Gemara, they used to only say a bracha at the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah. The Kohen said the first bracha, and then they would read all the aliyahs straight. Nobody said brachas in between, and then the last person to get the last aliyah used to say the bracha achrona. That was it. That was the practice in the times of the Gemara. So the Yerushalmi writes, even though this is our practice, that We only say one bracha at the beginning and one bracha in the end. Says the Yerushalmi, when you get to Shiras Hayam and Asaras Hadibros and some different selections of the Torah, you should say a bracha before, you should say a bracha after the Aliyah itself. You shouldn't just say at the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah and at the end. You should bookend every Aliyah when you have the Asaras Hadibros or something of that nature. You should say a bracha at the beginning of that Aliyah. So don't you see, said Rav Asher Weiss, don't you see that we are highlighting one part of the Torah more so than another part? How are you allowed to do that? How are you allowed to highlight this part of the Torah and say a bracha only on this Aliyah, when generally we wouldn't say a bracha on any other Aliyah? We generally used to say a bracha only at the beginning and at the end. So you see that the Gemara was not concerned. You see that the Yerushalmi was not concerned about this, and we didn't extend this concern of Tarumas Aminim. People are going to have the wrong impression. And therefore he suggested that that's why our minhag developed, that we do stand up for certain selections of the Torah, because there's nothing wrong with showing an extra special honor to certain selections of the Torah when we get up to those in that part of the year. Either way, this week is a Shabbos Chazak, and whatever the minhag is, if the minhag is, it's an interesting discussion about what's the story with this whole Chazak. But either way, Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazak, we should all have that great bracha of, even though Torah is Mateshes Kalchus Shaladam, we should have that great bracha of being given strength and always remembering all the Torah that we do learn.